When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to be in the Netherlands this fall and Nashville, Tennessee, doing private seminars, group seminars with you guys, and I hope to see you guys out. All of the information and tickets are listed in the links below in the description. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. Hope you guys are well. If you guys didn't know, I just went out and worked with the famous Miss Peaches and Barstool Sports owner Dave Portnoy in Nantucket. It was a wonderful experience, and Little Miss Peaches learned Recall, which is the biggest thing, and Leave It, and she crushed it. I was there for about 4 or 5 days. Dave was an amazing and gracious host to us, allowed us to stay in his house, and it was good. So that was fun. If you guys haven't seen those videos, go check out my social media, TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, anywhere. It's good girl, Miss Peaches. That was fun. This podcast is a fantastic podcast.
Greg Cariotto.
This podcast is fantastic with many different aspects in working with a dog. And this is a young dog that was pretty much rescued off the streets. And I think it's important to just know, this is one of the very first times on the podcast where I actually was able to work with the dog on FaceTime. I usually, typically because of the service or the situation, she was literally getting beat up by her dog while I was talking to her. The dog was trying to rip her dress. The dog was biting her hands, biting her arms. She has bruises all over. And I was like, look, let's just get to work here. Let's just try this because this is going to take me 2 seconds, you know? And so boom, it did. It took me 2 seconds. And she was like, holy crap. So this is a dog owner who literally just was struggling, did the right thing by adopting this dog off the streets because somebody dumped the dog, likely because the dog was doing the same stuff to somebody else. And it just is a really clear, clean podcast for you guys to go through. So if you guys are having issues with your dog, this is going to be really helpful. If you guys are interested in any of my courses, which we talked about in this podcast, which is the Kickstarter course, if you're struggling with your dog and you don't really know where to start, the Kickstarter course is set up just for you guys. And all of my courses are going to be linked in the description below. And again, as you guys know, I'm going to be in Nashville and Netherlands this year, and I can't wait to meet you guys and work with you. Tickets still available. Link in my description. Enjoy the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
Well, she has her full adult teeth, so I think at least 6 months.
Okay.
But I found her. I live between Dallas and New York City, and I was on a walk in Dallas, CC, and I found her with a collar on, but no one claimed her, so I think she was just like dumped.
So you don't know much about her background?
No, not at all.
Got it.
I did a DNA test, so that's how I know about her. Breed.
Okay. But. So things that we're working on is this.
Yes, this is my biggest problem, and she only does it with me. So she doesn't do it with my boyfriend, the dog walker, my parents, my sister. She basically plays with me the same way she plays with my sister's 1-year-old puppy.
Yeah.
Okay. And she you can see, like, she leaves bruises sometimes.
Bruising, but grabbing your clothes, picking on you, all the nine.
Yeah. Like, I could be sitting, not even bothering her, and she'll just come up and, like, you know, want attention. And she still hasn't let go, by the way, of my dress.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So is that where you want to start? We can start there. It's a good place.
Yeah. That's my big, yeah. And I actually have her in line to go to Upstate at some point for 3 weeks, but I don't want to get worse if I can start addressing it because it's the most disruptive of her behavior.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to start with just the easiest way that I have found for something like this is just assertively correcting the behavior and then rewarding the behavior right when she lets go. So two things is the problem that you're going to get and that you're going to see with this type of like playing is going to be she thinks that you're playing with her, right? So when she grabs your clothes and then you pull back, that's encouraging that. And it's inevitable because what are you supposed to do? Let her rip your clothes? No. So it's kind of a tough situation for most dog owners because when this happens, our first instinct, as would be to me as well, is to pull back to say, hey, that's mine. And then they go, oh, game on. So what I typically do, especially with a dog that's just trying to figure life out, no structure, boundaries, etc. yet, I just get a put your leash on your collar and just correct that behavior when it happens. And I typically just stand right here and the dog grabs something, I go, leave it, and I just pop the collar. And you have to start asserting yourself in a way that makes sense and matters to the dog. Right off the bat, right? So she's grabbing your dress. She's grabbing other people's stuff. But right now, it seems like she's just targeting you. So that's the first place to start is correcting your dog. Okay. Correcting your dog is communicating what they're doing is wrong in hopes of to teach them how to do the right behavior we would like. So if you ask yourself, have I ever corrected the dog for the thing I don't want, which is essentially communicating to the dog that this is inappropriate and I don't want you to do this, and it doesn't matter really what it is, jumping on people, pulling at your clothes, chewing on the rug, whatever, unless you assertively communicate with them, hey, this is not okay, and then enforce it, a lot of times it'll just continue until they get rid of the dog, like maybe that her past family did, where they were like,
yeah,
this dog is a nightmare. And really, the dog just doesn't know what to do. It's very common.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hear her that she has a squeaker now, which is good. You know, and there's as you probably already know, there's a whole spectrum of ideas floating around the world of the internet with dogs. And I try to keep myself as up to date as possible about what works and what doesn't. And I know that giving her a toy like she has now is great. And it gives her an alternative thing to actually chew on that she should be. But it's only going to be a matter of time before she turns around and comes after you again. So,
yeah.
So I would love to sit here and say, oh, a traitor for a toy. You got to be careful about that because two things, you could be rewarding the biting. And it's not sustainable because I'm kind of still going through it now with my puppy where he has, it seems like 100 toys upstairs, but he'll chew on the rug or my sauna, whatever he's like, oh. So there's a blend and a mixture, especially with the chewing. It really comes down, what I see with most dog owners is the dog kind of picks on people. So picking on people can look like antagonizing, kind of like a little sibling, like, hey, and just kind of annoying.
Yeah.
The more, and typically it escalates when we react a certain way. So if we are, no, don't do that, and vocal without real enforcement, then it typically makes it worse because the dog wants a rise out of you. And then once you give it to him, hey, stop. Then boom, they start to get big and they start to get louder and bite harder and they might vocalize. And oftentimes dog owners will see that. So that's where I would first start is very clearly enforcement is essentially enforcing what you say. So reinforcement is, hey, do this more often. I like this. Enforcement is I'm enforcing the leave it. Or if we tell a dog to sit and they get up, we're enforcing the sit, right? So you tell your kids, hey, it's bedtime at 9 p.m. They're running around the house at 10:30. You're not just sitting there with your hands on your hips going, go back to your room, go back to your room, go back to your room. Enforcement is simply making them do what they're supposed to be doing. And it just, And so for me, I've been able to do this within 30 seconds with most dogs. And then they're like, okay, I can't get away with that person. And you just put a leash on a dog and they start grabbing your pants, your legs, your shoes, your socks, anything that they can get their mouths on. And you just leave it, correction. And you have your leash in your hand. And pretty soon they either go grab something else or they lay down or they just walk away. But at the end of the day, you get into this loop because of probably how you've enabled this stuff to happen. She comes up, she grabs you, we pull back, we tell her no, we get frustrated, but nothing is assertive enough for her to clearly understand what she's doing is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not for me. She definitely thinks I'm like, but sometimes it hurts. So like I'll pull, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, I just don't want it to get worse. And I definitely don't want her to do it to other people because,
yep.
That would be like people that don't, you know, aren't part of my family.
Yeah, for sure.
And then so basically if I'm like, she usually does it when she's in a more hyper mood or like playful mood. Mm-hmm. And by the way, like she has so much energy. I could take her for like a 3 to 5 hour walk or like, you know, go to the park and, you know, she'll come back and be so hyper still. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she's like overtired like a child sometimes or like anyone, I guess, and then has like outbursts. But I notice it around then. So like I would just keep the leash on as an example when I bring her in and then, you know, sort of just like have it on her more frequently so I can use it as a tool.
Yeah, good question. Ultimately, any tool that we use, leash, collar, food, harnesses, prong collars, slip collars, whatever you use is a tool for a sustainable life. So at the end of the day right now, when you say leave it or you say something to the dog, there isn't matter behind it, aka enforcement. She's basically like, what are you going to do about it, you know? So I think it's important for you to understand in the very beginning, it's like training wheels for a kid. It's like, well, do I have to have these on? It's like, well, until you can learn how to ride your bike, then yes, you have to have these on. So in the beginning, it's going to be leave it, correction, leave it, enforcement, leave it, communication, whatever you want to call the following thing. And that way your voice matters. So every dog is different. Sometimes all you have to do is verbally correct a dog. Hey, and they're like, boop, I'm done. Sorry. And then other times it's like you have to go above and beyond to try to figure out what matters to your dog. And so to answer your question, yes, in the very beginning, you're gonna use your leash as you would the training wheels because you don't have enough skill sets to take those training wheels off yet. And once your voice becomes sustainable where your dog just listens, that's why when you see on the internet these really fancy, some including my dogs, personal dogs, these fancy dogs doing all this stuff and you're like, whoa, that's because they're trained. The training wheels are off. They've been to school. They get it. And so in the future with her, that's what it should look like. Your dog jumps on somebody, you should say off and they get right off. Your dog's biting on something, you say leave it, they spit it out. And that's been the most beneficial, long-lasting, sustainable thing that you could offer is just in the beginning, leave it, correction. And then the next time you say leave it, they're gone. And you're like, perfect. Yep. So that's ideal.
Okay. And then the other thing that she does, which is sort of related, but I mentioned like she'll get the zoomies almost. And I live in an apartment, so I live between here and Texas, but
cool.
Like it's almost like I'm afraid she's gonna like hit a wall or like actually hurt herself. But like I said, I bring her outside a lot, but do you recommend when they get home from like a walk to go into more of like a smaller space first or like any tips for, I don't know if it's like normal. I've had dogs before, never puppy.
To prevent what?
Like her being so rambunctious, like she'll run leap from like couch to couch to my bed almost.
Yeah.
To the bathroom and then run back.
Yeah. It's more of a, it's discretionary on your end, but from a professional standpoint, the Zoomies are kind of like this excitement time for them. And so for me, it's more about management than it is taking something completely away. So again, kind of like parenting in a sense, where a kid gets really excited about getting ice cream. Okay, that's fine, but you can't run across the street. So we're managing certain aspects of get crazy, but not on the couch. And nope, you can't jump. And so my suggestion, which is commonly a blend of professional dog training advice and also a lifelong 30 plus years of owning dogs, it would be more of an accumulation of realistic and fair expectation that when your dog gets back, there's going to be the excitement. And if you're okay with the Zoomies, that's okay. But I think that you can manage the intensity of it through your verbal communication, which again, if you don't, it's kind of coming back down to your basics, where if you ask your dog to do something right now in a verbal way, it's probably 99.8% of the time going to fail currently with your current setup, right?
So if definitely. Yeah. 100% of the time, probably.
Yeah.
If it's my boyfriend, like a male voice, she's much more responsive.
Yeah.
Me, it's like she thinks I'm a toy or something, a puppy.
Yeah. And it all just depends on how you're responding to her, you know, and it's the same thing with human behavior too, I would think. Like you walk into a place and you get a group of people that you know, you're going to get your buddy that you can joke around with and the buddy that doesn't joke and the person that can't. And it's kind of like that with dogs as they go through life and with the people that they're associated with and around, like family members, they know what they can get away with and not. So yeah, but I think at the end of the day, like you should be really focusing on your baseline communication skills, because that's going to help you tremendously. You know, it's like giving somebody a task of doing this assignment and your life depends on this assignment, or maybe even the quality of the life depends on this, your life depends on this assignment, but you can't speak the language of the people around you. So it's very, you might be thinking, I can't get this done. I can't get this done. I can't do this thing that I need to do to make my life less stressful. And I'm like, but you also don't know how to communicate with the very thing that's going to help you do that, which is your dog. So if you can't communicate well with your dog, or you don't have good communication or both, it doesn't matter what the problems are. It doesn't matter if your dog's killing things or jumping on people or not coming back when called or pulling you on the leash or pulling on your dress. None of that is going to matter as far as the what the outcome is going to be when you try to work on this if you don't have a base. So So anyway, so yeah, the Zoomies is one of those things that here's how I would do it. I come home, my dog goes and they start running back and forth. Some dogs will do this when they get a bath too. They like come out and they freak out.
Yes.
Yeah.
She does that.
Yeah. And so to me, I'm kind of just observing like, oh, this is okay. All this is fine. And then the moment, you know, like maybe we jump on the couch and they're not supposed to, it'd be off. And then they, oop, my bad. And they get off. You unfortunately just wouldn't really be able to have your cake and eat it too, because of the lack of training, really.
Manners.
Manners, training, yeah. Communication, etc. So,
yep. Now she's looking for puppies that are around. and then in terms of any other, like I understand like the 3-week program is really structured and I'll have lots of tools after that when she comes home, and as long, you know, obviously needs reinforcement. But is there anything else? I mean, the biting is the biggest problem for me personally now, but any other like basics that you recommend focusing on between now and, or just like general, she sits down, she knows how to lay down. She does not recall, but I wouldn't even try recall without professional help. And I mean, when she's outside walking, she wants to like approach pigeons. She sometimes walks next to me, but sometimes pulls, like, probably on your score of dog, she's not well behaved at all.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's minimal things I can do because of, my like communication issue with her currently. But she's not a bad dog. She's very, very smart. And she's like very, very sweet. if anything, it's more, she just, you know, it's more me that is the problem, I think.
Yeah, totally. So I would start with, it's a good question. I think the best place to start is with the basic thresholds. So I want, my general rule of thumb is if you don't matter to your dog, you can't accomplish anything. So, and you know, take that with a grain of salt, really, because it's like, what that means is it's just what it is. It's exactly what it is. Like, if you tell your dog to do something and they want to do something else, and you're basically like chopped liver, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. And there's two things to that. The first thing is they have to know what you're asking first. So it has to be a practiced behavior, like recall or even heal. And so
see right now she's like eating a wire.
Yep.
Or something. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, a lamp. Nice, Cece.
Yep, the lamp went flying. But that's that's so there's a good point though. Like that type of stuff there is not going to go away probably for a while. And
there's like normal puppy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I deal with this too with my own puppy who's not really a puppy that much anymore, but it's just important for you to realize that puppies are going to still do puppy stuff within reason. So they're going to go and knock over a lamp, but if they're looking at a lamp and they're thinking about pouncing on it, and you say, hey, leave it. That's where you can't tell a fish not to swim, where these ideas are still going to pop in their head, right? So her going, I want to chew on this wire, or I want to, knock over this lamp. Those things are inevitably still going to happen. That's not a training thing. That's more of just a puppy being a puppy, and your ability to communicate is what's going to get in there and help you with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like if dogs are chewing on slippers and shoes and other things, that really isn't a training thing. Like that's more of you have a puppy, you're going to have to watch them. You're going to have to puppy proof the house. Your leave it's good. If your leave it's good, the only time that that's going to be helpful is when the dog is grabbing the slipper in front of you and you say, leave it. So, and that's with adult dogs too. But anyway, do you have a slip? Like, what kind of collars do you typically use with her?
She usually has, she was six, so I took it off actually, but I probably shouldn't do that. But she has a leather collar that she just wears and then a harness when she goes out.
Okay. And what kind of leash do you have?
I have a long leash for when she's in the park and needs to run, almost like a lunch line that you would use for a horse. Mm-hmm. And then I have just a regular like leash that's two lengths, the leather leash.
Okay. Because you can start with just putting her regular collar on, putting the leash on, and then even stuff like this, you can start correcting that behavior. Like here, you'd put that stuff on and start correcting that. Just because the reason why, well, there's two things is like the reason why she's pulling on the dress and she's not letting go is just because there's no reason not to. She's like, she doesn't look at you as, you know, she's not looking as your dress as your dress. She looks at it as like, oh, this is material I can rip. So I think it's important for you to just like, you know, step up to the plate and start correcting her for that. But anyway,
and you just kind of like shank, but like,
yeah,
I used to ride horses. So like, it's like, sometimes we would put like chains over their nose if they're like, you know, being wild.
Yeah.
So you kind of just like shank them, or
I'm not familiar with that, but I would say if you want to try it, you can put the stuff on now. And, we have a pretty good connection here. So if you want to try it, we could.
Yeah. You can see, she'll probably be a monster while I put the leash on. Cece, look what she's doing on the floor right now.
Yeah, she's wild.
Cece, you are really a monster handful. Get up. I'm going to send you to upstate soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been talking to Zach.
Cool.
Your team, actually.
Cool.
He's great.
Yeah, he is. He's really helpful. So put your collar on, put your leash on, and let's see if we can work on some of this biting.
Yeah, because it's like, especially when my boyfriend's not here, it's like a big problem at night if she starts biting me. Because sometimes I can't make her stop.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a puppy, but she does, you know, she's really strong. And so when she's jumping and biting, like sometimes she'll like fling herself in the air and like be up, you know, and it's like, it's not good. See, that's rude. Okay. Now she's fighting the.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Leash.
Okay. Can you put your phone down and just move away a little bit so I can see what you're doing?
Yeah, let's see, where could I put it?
Like you can set it up on the ground and go toward, yeah, whatever's clever.
Yeah, this is probably a good way to do it. More her level. Oh, now she's biting my arm.
There. Okay. So just take the leash out of her mouth, just kind of like rip it out and tell her to leave it.
Leave it, Cece. No.
Good. Now just, yeah, stand. There you go. Now pop the collar like up and down. Tell her to leave it.
Like that?
Yep. Better. Yep. Good. See that?
Yeah. She's never done that before.
There you go. So
that's good.
So you're going to do this again if she comes.
Good, girl. Good.
Yes. Well done.
Good.
Beautiful.
Girl.
So if she's probably going to.
Cece.
She's probably going to go after your leash or your dress. Drop your leash a little bit. Don't let it hang up. Just nice and relaxed. Good. Because that's going to be a target for her. So if she does it again, you're going to do the same thing. You're just going to tell her to leave it. Good. Good. Well done.
Good girl.
Better decision.
Good girl, Cece.
So see the difference?
Wow. You're like a dog whisperer.
Well, just put your arm down. Put your arm down. Relax. Because once you start picking that leash up, she's going to go after that leash. That's a target for her. Kick her toy. Give her toy back. See if she'll get into that. Because right now she's looking for something. Yep, and then let her know, hey, you can play with this. This is your duck. My dress is not your dress.
Good girl, Cece.
Perfect. Well done. Really good.
Good
okay.
Girl, Cece. Oh, now we're eating the leash again.
So pop it out. Good. Good.
Good girl, Cece. Good girl, Cece. Oh, nope. We don't good. Bite my hand, though.
Yeah,
yeah,
so don't.
That's what I pet her.
Don't, yeah, correction. Good. And don't give her that physical attention then. She doesn't,
okay.
that privilege is gone. Because you go up to pet her and she tries to bite you, don't do that again. Like, those are the types okay. of things that I'm talking about that dog owners will kind of, they make these unrealistic, they set themselves up basically, where I'm like, hey, you tried to pet her to say good job and she bites your hand, don't pet her. Like, that privilege is gone. That freedom is gone. But again, she's also a puppy, so it's very normal. If you reach for a puppy, she's like, let's play. Dogs are very, very, with their mouths. They talk with their mouths. They're, that's a very common thing for them to do.
But, oh, okay.
So she's just being playful, right? She's giving you an opportunity to like play with her, but you're like, no, this hurts. I don't have fur like you do. This is not okay.
Yeah.
So basically here's what you do. So you asked me like, where do you start? Here's where you start is you, if you have time, you put your leash on your dog just like this in the house, and you can pretty much do whatever you want to do. So right now she's chewing on whatever, that's fine. But the moment that you like sit down and you start working and she starts going, hey, I'm going to start picking on you. You start, hey, no, that's inappropriate. And before you were going through your life, she's literally bruises all over you. She's biting you. She's pulling your dress, and you weren't doing anything about it. You were just allowing her to do it. And like I said before, I've been doing this now for 13 years, every single day, and we can take out food and we can take out toys and say, hey, do this instead. But at the end of the day, if your dog is trying to put their mouth on you and hurt you and play with you and do things that are inappropriate and you're not assertive about it, you will not be successful. And that's what you were missing right there.
Yeah. Yeah. She never responded like that to me. She like normally like, I can't get her to stop biting me at all. So, like, I think I, and if I'm like working, I could just leave it like this. Mm-hmm. And then if she comes near me and starts acting up, I just grab it. Yep. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she's really smart.
The other thing that you can, that's the problem, right? The other thing that you can do is you can get what I call a tab leash. So you get like a cheap leash and you just cut it maybe at like 4 inches. And then that way the leash doesn't hang around the house and get caught on everything. And it's not like, you know, hanging. So you just get a tab leash, cut a cheap one. And then she just wears that. And then anytime she like does stuff like that, you can put that on and just tell her to leave it. But listen, it's not uncommon for dog owners to see such fast results with being assertive, because the lack of being assertive and the lack of communication is mm-hmm. apparent when these things happen. So grab your leash again and then you can sit down, because if you want, but she doesn't know the game yet. She doesn't know that you're going to now correct her for doing these things. So nope. It's, there you go. Good.
Good girl.
Good. And
good girl.
Perfect. So she might get a little frustrated, which is very, very normal. My puppy does the same thing. Boom. And then she goes back to the duck or whatever, and that's fine. So right now you are being very clear with her with what's appropriate and what isn't. It's that simple. So she's like, I'm going to bite you. And then you're saying no to her, but you're holding her accountable through enforcement. And the enforcement is that leash correction. And that's why she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Dog owners who talk to their dogs and tell their dogs to not do something without enforcement are not only accomplishing their goals because they're getting bit by their dog or grabbed onto or jumped on by their dog, but they're actually digging themselves a deeper hole because they're asking their dog to do something. The dog's flipping them off and then they just repeat the command again. So in your relationship, you're taking 6 steps back each time that that equation happens, which is why she's targeting you so much.
Yeah, because she doesn't, like, my voice isn't enough to deter her, basically.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean anything. So not only is it not enough, because you've told, think about how many times you've told her to do something without enforcement. Every time.
Yeah, probably since I met her. Yeah.
Exactly. So she jumped.
Probably since she ran across the street to me.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And so you just want to have that balance with her to just really, really be clear with her. Play with your duck, play with your toys, play with your squeaker. All of that is wonderful. And in fact, I'll reward you and encourage you to do it, positive reinforcement. But the moment you bite me to cause bruises on me or somebody else is when the punishment comes in. And the punishment is in the dog training industry is so dramatized to manipulate people. But it's just what you just did. You have a leash, you have a flat collar, she bites you, you tell her to leave it, you snap that collar, she lays down and doesn't do it. Now she goes to chew on what she's supposed to. It's that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if I'm outside and say, if people come up and pet her, she'll jump up on them. She hasn't bit, like, thank God, anyone outside. But I do worry because you saw how she sees my wrist as like a toy. And I'm worried that she might do that to, especially in New York, and you do it to the wrong person here. So I could use the leash the same way outside too, right? Theoretically.
Yes.
Or.
Yeah. Okay. Anytime, the answer is yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You just,
I think that, and then what about if she's pulling on the leash? Same thing or?
Yeah. So
no.
Yes, kind of. So when she's pulling on the leash, you can correct her for pulling, but I like to try to teach the dog how to heal first, teach the dog how to do the thing that we want them to do versus try to correct them for something that they're going to be like, she has 4 legs, you have 2. So she's naturally going to walk faster. And so instead of playing this game, instead of playing this game of get back here, get back here, get back here, don't pull me, don't pull me, don't pull me. What I typically do is I'll teach a dog how to heel properly, which is essentially the game of loose leash walking. And I do that for a couple weeks, privately in a house. And then once the dog understands the game, then we start going outside and copying and pasting outside. And then that way, when the dog breaks the heel, walks past our leg, we're then able to correct the dog fairly. So they know, I told you to heel, you ran past my leg. We've been practicing this, kind of like recall too. Like a lot of dog owners, what they do is they put their dog in an unrealistic situation to succeed and then try to recall their dog. So, okay, my dog has never learned recall. I'm going to let him off leash around a bunch of other dogs and tell the dog to come back, and the dog doesn't. And that's, so you just have to, so my point is teach them, yeah, teach them the skill set first, then apply it to the problems that you're having in your world. So instead of saying, how do I stop my dog how to pull? I would ask, how well does your dog know how to walk nicely on a leash on cue? Because it's just much more, again, I use the word a lot, sustainable for you to go out with your dog, CC heel, boom. She's like, I know what that means. I have to be right here. I can't walk past your leg until you say break. And I'm healing and I'm healing and I'm healing. And then you say break, and then boom, she can do what she wants. But that's not going to happen overnight. Like tonight, if you went out and she pulled you, you can correct her. Leave it. And you're snapping that leash. So when you had the leash, for an example, I'll use this mic cord to kind of show you. So like you always want the leash to be nice and relaxed when you have the leash. That's why when you were standing there and you had it pulled up, she's feeling that pressure and she's going to get frustrated. And that's why anytime that you apply a correction or even pressure for something, the moment that they commit to what you're asking, you release that. Because what happened there, for an example, is you told her to stop biting your dress. You corrected her. She did, but you still had pressure up on her like this. You were still hanging on to her. And that's where she's
going, like, what the hell?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then she's going to come at you harder because she's like, well, damned if I do, damned if I don't. I stop what you want me to do, and I'm still getting a lot of pressure. So you just release that pressure, and it's a lot like horsemanship. Yeah. So if you apply pressure back on a horse, they're going to go backwards, and you're like, I want you to stop. And they're like, let go of the reins then, because you are pulling me back. So it's the same thing with dogs. As you say, stop this crap, she stops. She's like, I won't lunge, bite, pull, whatever, but you're still pulling on her. So then she goes right back into it. So it's again, clear communication. So she comes up to you and starts jumping on you and doing anything that you don't want her to do with you, leave it. And it's just a pop. Think about it like a jab, like in boxing. It's just a quick boop, boop, boop. And you're almost, to some dogs and to most dogs, you're annoying them. So every time that she does a jump and you go boop, she's like, I don't like that. And you're like, good, because every time you jump, this is what happens. And she goes, I'm not going to jump anymore. And you go, perfect, that's gone. So it's kind of like this bad taste thing for humans, right? Like we try something and we're like, that's awful, I hate that. Well, how often, if you hate something, are you going to go back and do it again? Not often. Somebody's like, right. You're like, hey, you want this? You're like, no, I've tried that and it sucks. I don't want anything to do with that. So that's the same thing that we put into dogs when we're doing foundational work with them, is the moment that they bite, jump, grab, and we make it so that they don't want to do that again, they just stop doing it. And you're like, great, because I didn't want my clothes to get ripped off me every time my dog came out. So,
yeah,
you know, it's part of, I think dog owners, most dog owners understand the concepts of balance. What we're talking about here is operant conditioning. So rewarding the behavior we like and correcting the behavior we don't like, so we can teach our dogs how to behave. But a lot of people just don't know how to do those corrections, right? So I want my dog to come off leash, but when you're predicating your recall off of motivation, you're going to fail, because they're just going to find something in the woods that they prefer over you. And that's where the corrections will come in. So anyway, that's pretty much like what you're missing right here is, right now when you say something to your dog before our conversation, you didn't have the ability to enforce anything, which is why your relationship will start to spiral and things can get very frustrating very fast, because she's feeding off your frustrated energy, your voice, your shoulders, everything. Dogs are so intuitive, and that's where people just get so frustrated, right? Where it takes me Like, it takes me 2 seconds. I could come to your place right now, put the, and your dog jumps, boop, and then you're like, holy shit. And it's, it just,
and she'll be done.
And that's it. It's over. Never again. So it's sometimes and oftentimes with a dog like this, this isn't a behavioral case. This isn't a dog with neurological problems. This isn't a dog with reactivity or aggression. This is just a dog with zero boundaries. So she was doing stuff that you didn't want her to do. And you in English were telling her to stop, but dogs don't give a shit about that. The moment that you physically corrected her with the pop of the flat collar and the leash, she's been playing with her toy ever since. Where the first 10 minutes on the phone with you, you were playing tug of war with your dress in her mouth. So this is the stark contrast of what that looks like.
Yeah, she's being so good. You're a good girl. No. Good girl. And then last question, and we're probably no. Oh no, you're not biting me though. You're thinking about it. No. Good girl. No. Good girl.
Okay, no. So don't go over her head too much either.
Okay.
So what was happening right there is she was, as you're kneeling down, she's kind of like walking up and putting her back on you and hips on you. And when you, every time you reach over to pet her, she doesn't, I don't want to say she doesn't like it because I don't know, but every time you put your head over her head, she wants to grab your hand. So I would just like right now when she's nuzzling up on you right now, just kind of like pet her chin instead or pet her chest instead of going over. Because every time you go over, she wants to air snap your hand. And
yes.
Yeah. And that's common. Hey. Again, that's a common thing dogs will do. She's just being bratty. She's like, no. Right? So, yeah.
And then, actually, another problem I have is when I clean her paws. Like, she doesn't like her paws being touched.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
that
like,
doesn't surprise me.
Would you recommend? Is that normal for puppies or
it's normal for dogs with her she's bratty. She is like I'm going to get away with everything and you don't have any say in this. And so I think if you do something remotely inconvenient for her, she's going to give you the teeth. Because it unlocks everything in the past, right? Like anything she wants, she just puts her mouth on and she gets. Or at least it becomes a game. So I just think, so that's a relation, two things. Yes, some dogs do not like their paws touched. That is definitely a thing. I just think with her, anytime that she picks on you so bad that, I don't know, I just don't think she's going to take that from you that well. Like anything that you want to do, I don't think she's going to take you seriously. And so that's the relationship that you have with her. And I think once you start this whole process of, and the whole process literally looks like putting your leash and your collar on and just literally correcting her for the things that you don't want her to do. And it's really that simple. And I think once she really gets the hang of that you actually are driving the ship, I think that you're going to be able to do a lot more with her because she's not going to be as pushy with you. Now she's taking advantage of you. She's not listening to you. She does not respecting you. She likes you. But I would much rather want respect than somebody's likeness, in my opinion. Like she can do whatever she wants and be a dog, but when you tell her to do something, she needs to take it seriously, because that's really what good dog ownership is like. Is what's the point of having a dog that doesn't listen to anything you have to say, or what's the point of having a dog that you have to manipulate with tools constantly throughout their life? You know, like if you have to use food or you have to use a correction to get your dog to do stuff, especially long term. I'm not talking about a dog that you're developing. I'm talking about a dog that you've been working with for months. I'm like, if you still have to use this stuff, it's not, something's off, you know? So I just think that's where you really need to start focusing, is just understanding that a lot of the symptoms that you're having with your dog are predicated and stemming from your relationship more than anything.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting because, again, like, she doesn't like her paws touched by anyone, but, like, my sister and boyfriend can like deal with her paws better. And same thing with bath. Like when I give her a bath, like she, you know, like, well, she definitely doesn't like getting water like on her face and stuff, but she tolerates it, but she's definitely difficult. She doesn't bite me in the bath, which is funny though. And then so like if I'm doing her paws, do you recommend I just keep the leash on and then correct her? Like if she's not letting me touch them, or is that not good for a paw?
I think what you should do is you should just ease into it. Because you don't want to correct for something. A lot of dogs don't like their paws touched. So there's like, yeah. I think there's a fairness to this, and I think it's discretionary on you and your dog. But what I would be doing likely is working on like touching her paws and then getting like giving her a treat. So like what I do is I get like a big piece of beef liver in my hand like this, and then the dog comes up and starts eating the beef liver. You can use anything. And they're like, and then you touch the other paw and then you break and then you do it again. And so you more or less just say, hey, this is going to be a positive experience, because there's just, with dog ownership, there's going to be absolutes and then there's going to be, okay, we need to work on this with time. So like absolutes or non-negotiables are a dog, you know, biting you and manipulating you and jumping on you. And those are things that are not negotiable. At any point in time, you can correct that and say, don't ever do that again. I don't want that to happen again. Right. But when we talk about other things like dogs getting bathed, dogs' pads getting touched, teeth getting brushed, associating with even new people, I mean, these are things that are going to take some time with conditioning and with exposure, with positive reinforcement. But training-wise, there's going to be non-negotiables. And some of those are going to be, you're not dragging me, you're not jumping, you're not biting me. Those are fair things for you to say, never. Is that appropriate? But I think some of the other more behavioral stuff and relationship stuff is going to be, let's work on this together to help you become more confident with this. And that's what I would start working on with those things.
Great. And then do you recommend, like, she sleeps not in my bed, but she sleeps on her own bed in my room. She is crate trained. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's better at a certain age to sleep in a crate versus, like, do you think, like, sleeping in the bedroom is creating any... She's just a brat anyway.
Yeah. I think with her, you and her, you guys should create as much structure as possible. More than anything. Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say that I think you guys should really work on structure. So if you feel like her sleeping in your room is not helping your relationship, then yeah, you can keep her in a crate or something. But it just depends on how it is. Like if she's in your room on a bed sleeping, that's not a big deal. But if she's like on your bed taking the whole bed up, like those are probably going to be problematic.
Oh, no, she doesn't come in the bed. She's not allowed.
Yeah. So,
you know, that's one thing she listens about. Yeah. So, but she's being so good now. She's just like sitting there.
Good.
Good girl, Cece. Good girl. The dog whisperer. Good girl. This has been great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was like, I got to get on his calendar before she goes to upstate, because I just didn't want it to get worse or like start with anyone else.
Sure.
Because she's a really good girl. She's great with kids and stuff, but yeah, just not that I would let her around kids, but my sister has two kids, so
yeah,
I'll let her around them. But yeah, great.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome. And yeah, just keep up. I think you just need to get the kinks out right now. And I think just being clear with her, and that's what you were missing, is you're like, you know, again, in the beginning of the conversation, she's like all over you and you were like not doing anything about it. And then the moment you were like, you can't do that anymore, she's like, oh, okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Just remember
to, she like responds.
Yep. Yeah, it's not a, it's not a game, you know, it's not, it's stuff that works every day. You know, dog owners go through this thing of like, what do I do? I've tried this and I've tried that. I'm like, have you tried just communicating with her that what she's doing is wrong with actual things that she cares about? Right? People like dance around the bush for so long about doing this and doing that. I'm like, look, just be assertive. Like, be like my kid running. I always say this analogy, but it's like, if my kid were like running with a knife, I'm not going to sit here and go, no, it's assertively stopping that child, getting the dangerous thing out of their hand and telling them that that's very not okay. And if they cry, I don't care. I want them to be stressed about this. I don't want them to feel like this is something that they can do. I want him to think, I have a son, I want him to think that when he goes and grabs a knife, he's going to remember this stressful time and he's not going to do it again. And that's the objective, I think, and responsibility we have as dog owners and as people owners, human owners, is to make sure that we are very clear with them what is appropriate and what isn't. And when I say appropriate, like things that can cause them danger, harm, or worse has to be absolutely not ever. And like, yeah, don't ever do that again. This isn't like, oh, now you can run with the knife. It's like, no, don't ever touch this again.
We never do that.
Ever.
So
anyway, so just work on that stuff. I have a course called the Kickstarter course. Would be really helpful for you if you haven't taken that yet. It's online. You can get it. It's called the No Bad Dogs Kickstarter course. And it's basically for somebody like you who just doesn't know really where to start. It talks about all the behaviors that you should have at this point and how to start building a better relationship with your dog.
Great. Yeah, I'll look into that. And then I'll just remember to keep a loose leash as soon as she responds and not try to pet her on her face too much if she's looking to bite me from that.
That's a battle she wants with you. She gets frustrated with that. So, I mean, you don't even have to, I know you want to, but it's still like if I'm working with a dog and I physically touch them and it makes them do things I don't want them to do, I stop touching them. I'm like, fine, I'm not going to touch you. And it's a puppy stage. My puppy does that right now. Swear to God, like today was the first day he actually let me pet him. Like he does not let
me.
Yeah, he just wants to play and he's so rough. Anytime I touch him, he just takes his big jowls and tries to find my hand and chew on it because he's a puppy. And that's what he does. And now he's starting to calm down and maturing and now I can pet him and he's not trying to chew on me. So anyway, just remember, like anything that it's called negative punishment. You go to pet your dog, and your dog bites your hand in a playful way, and you take your hand away. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Remove it from the equation.
Correct.
Good girl, Cece. Good girl. Good girl. Say thank you, Tom. Say thank you.
Cool.
Good girl. She's so good. I can't believe I just found her, but I didn't have the heart to put her in a shelter. So
yeah, I think she'll be fine. She'll be fine.
Yeah, she's a good girl. She's a good girl. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to sending her to upstate in a bit.
Cool. All right. Good luck with everything.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.